Today's daf is Bamitzia daf Tzadi Dalid. We are finishing up the seventh parak, starting the eighth parak today. We left off at the Mishnah and daf Tzadi Gimel Amud Beis. Says the Mishnah, Ze'ev Echad Eino Ones. When we define, we just had a Mishnah that discussed that there are four Shomrim and that the different Shomrim have different levels of Chiyuv depending on what goes wrong, whether it's an Ones, it's going to have Aveda, it's Pshia. So we have to define the term Ones, what's called an Ones. So we said, Ze'ev Echad Eino Ones. If one wolf comes and attacks, that's not called an ones. That's not called something that's out of your control. You should be able to defend your flock from one wolf. Shnei ze'evim ones. If there are two wolves, then it is an ones. Now the Behuda is in short. When you say that something is not an ones, when the Mishnah says something's not an ones, so Not Behuda in Choshen Mishpat in Simen Nun Vav is not sure. Does that mean that it's not an ones and therefore it's pshia? And even Shomer Chinam would be chayiv if Ze'ev Echad attacked? Or no, it just means it's not an onus, but it's still not Pshia. I mean, it's hard to call it Pshia when a wolf attacks. So the Ketzos understands that it's clearly not Pshia. It just means that it falls short of being in the category of something that's an onus. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, B'shas Mishlacha Ze'evim Af Ze'ev Echad Onus. That if it's a time where Ze'evim are attacking, it's a time that there are Chayos Ra'os all over the place. So then, even if it's a Ze'ev Echad, it's going to be an onus because things are a little bit more scary and you're less likely to try to stand up to a wild animal because for all you know, there are thousands of others coming. So even though there happens to have been only one, a single Ze'ev is still going to be an onus in that case. Shnei klavim eino onus. If two dogs attack, that's not called an onus. Two, you should be able to defend your flock against two dogs. Yodua bavli omer mishum rab meir meruach achas eino onus. If two dogs come together from one direction, that's where it's not an onus, but mishtei ruchos onus. But if they come from two different directions and it feels like you're being attacked or surrounded from two different directions, so then two dogs is going to be an onus. Halistim hareza onus. If armed bandits come and attack, that's called an onus. Ha'ri, ha'dov, ha'namar, ha'bardos, ha'nachash, ha'reilu ones. All these different types of wild beasts are called an ones, even if it's just one of them. These are more dangerous wild animals, and therefore they're called an ones. Emasai, bizman shebo me'elehen. But that's only true that these wild animals are going to be called an ones if they just came on their own. You didn't invite them. You didn't do anything to cause them to come. But if you go specifically to dangerous locations, and then these animals, or listim, or any of the cases that we said before are ones, but you invited it upon yourself because you went to locations where you knew that it's more dangerous that these things are there, so then you can't say that it's an ones. You bedafka brought the animal to a bad spot. You brought it to a place where there are these wild beasts. Mesa kedarka reza onus. If the animal dies on its own, so that's an onus. Sagfa umesa ein onus. If you beat up the animal and the animal dies, then that's not going to be called an onus. So obviously the Rishonim are bothered. What kind of chiddush is that, right? If I beat the animal and then the animal dies, obviously that's not an ones. Says Tosos Tema, the pshia gemurahu. Is there any greater pshia than that? I mean, you're beating up the animal. Of course, that's not called an ones. That's as much of a pshia as possible. Meaning, when we have a suffix, whether pshia is called a mazik or pshia is not, that's a mazik, right? That's very clearly pshia on the highest level. That's very clearly a mazik. You're beating up the animal. V'yishlomer de kamash malan. Now the chiddush is, even if you're not sure that it died because of your beating, it may have died because of something else, nevertheless you're still going to be chayiv because you shouldn't have beaten up the animal. I mean, even if you could have a time, no, yeah, I beat it up, it's true, but it didn't die as a result of my beating, it died as a result of something else, still you're going to be chayiv for the pshia. We're not sure that it didn't die as a result of your beating. The Rabbeinu Yonasan explains a little bit further, probably agreeing with Tosfos. He says that the chiddush is that even if it doesn't die that day, it dies after a month or a couple of months later, still you're going to be chayiv because maybe when you beat it up, that's where it developed this internal injury that you weren't aware of, and it slowly got to the point where it died many months later. So since you don't know, we have to assume that that's what happened, and therefore you're not going to be able to claim a Ptur of Onus. It could be that you're not going to be able to claim a Ptur of Ones because where Rabbeinu Yonason says is, Eino Yachol Yishava, meaning you don't know that it did die because of what you did, and you don't know that it didn't die because of what you did. The only way you're going to get off the hook is if you're able to swear that it was an Ones. You can't swear that it was an Ones because you don't know. So Mitoch Shein Yachol Yishava Mishalim. Since you can't swear, you're going to have to pay. But it's not that we know for sure that when you beat it up and then it dies 6 months later, that it's because of you that it died. We don't know that for sure. But you can't swear otherwise. Mitoch Shein Yachol Yishava Mishalim. The Rush writes that we assume that it started getting bad from the time that you started beating it up, and the lashon of Eino Ones, the Rush says, is lav dafka, meaning the Rush says that Tosas Kasha is right on that it's pshia gemura, and when the Mishnah says Eino Ones, it really means it's pshia gemura. Why does it use such a soft lashon of Eino Ones? Makes it sound like we're not so certain that it's pshia. So we're just trying to keep it in line with the rest of the Mishnah, says the Rush, and we use the term Eino Ones in the rest of the Mishnah. But Eino Chinami, in this case, it's not just Eino Ones, it's absolute pshia, it's complete pshia, and there's nothing to talk about. It doesn't really address Tosa's question. Tosa's question is not, why do we use a lashon of Eino Ones? It doesn't seem to me that that's what Tosa's question. Tosa's question is, why would the Mishnah need to tell me the halacha at all? That the halacha doesn't have a chiddush at all. Okay, anyway, says the Mishnah, last line of the Mishnah, also the Rosh Hetzukin v'nafla hareza ones. If you bring the animal up to a top of a cliff and it falls, so that's called an ones. If it went up to the top of a cliff and it fell, that's called an ones. Hello, the Rosh Hetzukin v'nafla mesa eino ones. But if you brought it to the top of a cliff and it fell off the cliff, then that's not an ones. Again, you invited that problem upon yourself by bringing it to the top of the cliff. So, frankly, the Gemara right off the bat, how can the Mishnah say that is ze'ev echad is eino ones, that one wolf attacking is not called an ones, v'atanya ze'ev echad ones? We have a brisa that says the exact opposite, that one wolf attacks it is called an ones. So the Gemara gives what would be the obvious answer, that the shita of Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah was that a ze'ev echad can also be an ones if it's shas mishlach ze'ev, and if it's a time that the government has allowed wild beasts to run all over the place and to attack people. So if it's a more dangerous time, even a Zeiv Echad is an Ones. And that's what the Brice is referring to when it says Zeiv Echad is an Ones. It's referring to a more dangerous time where there's Zeivim all over the place. Halistim Areza Ones, the Mishnah said that armed bandits are considered an Ones. What are you supposed to do if you get mugged at gunpoint? So that's obviously you're going to lose the flock if you get mugged at gunpoint. They're going to take it from you. There's no way for you to defend yourself. So Frek the Gemara, why? Am I Luki Gavra Lahadi Gavra? The mugger is a guy. You're a guy. Why can't you stand up against him? Fight him for it. Why do you have to assume that just because he's being the aggressor, he automatically has the upper hand, and you're unable to defend yourself? So Rav Blista Mezuyin. No, it's not just Listim, it's Listim Mezuyin. It's at gunpoint. Meaning if a guy were to just start up with me, so then, maybe I could defend myself, stand up for myself. But a guy with a gun starts up with me, so I'm not going to be stupid. I'm not going to try to defend myself. He obviously has the upper hand. So Frekta Gemara, okay, but what if the following case? What if I got a gun for my protection? The shepherd himself is carrying a gun. So you have a list of Mizuyan, the armed bandit, but he's only one mugger. He's working alone. And you have a Roa Mizuyan. You have the shepherd is armed as well. In that case, do you say it's man against man, and therefore the roa should be capable of defending himself? Or maybe no. There's not everyone that holds a gun is considered equal. Some people hold a gun and know how to use it. Other people hold a gun and don't ever plan on using it. They're just hoping that they could scare people away with it. Now, a list of Mizuyan is someone who, by definition, is putting his life in danger every day. That's what he does. And he's not afraid to put his life. He knows that when he goes to work every day to mug people, that any day might be his last and he might get killed, and he doesn't care. He does it anyway. He's going in with that understanding. The Ro is really not interested in dying. He would rather not get involved in any sort of gun battle. So maybe it's not really, it's the list of Mizuyin still has an advantage when he has a gun. So says the Gemara, Mistavr, Dahai Masr Nafshe, Vahai Lo Masr Nafshe. So the Gemara says, it's more Mistavr that the list of Mizuyin has the upper hand. That the list of Mizuyin, the armed bandit, is going to be more willing to be Moser Nefesh, and since he's a little bit crazier, so he has the upper hand, and you're unable to defend yourself. Now, it sounds from the Gemara that the Gemara comes to a clear maskana over here, that it's not a shaila that for some reason wasn't answered. Nevertheless, the Magen Mishnah understands the Gemara that it leaves it as a suffix, that it was a suffix that was not really nifshat in the Gemara. And the reason the Gemara seems to say that we're poshet the safek is that the net result is the same. Meaning, when you say hay masu nafshe v'ay lo masu nafshe, if we were sure about that, the halacha would be that you'd be pater. The halacha would be that that this is called an onus and you're pater. So the Magen Mishnah says we're mekel on the roa misafek. It's a safek, we're not absolutely sure that this is the halacha, but misafek, we're mekel on the shepherd. But it works midin safek, not midin vaday. The Ketzos has problems with that. The Ketzos asks on the Magen Mishnah, wait a second, that's not the rule when you have a safek. How does it work normally? If I want to be pater because it was an ones, I just have to swear that it was an ones. I have to swear that it happened how I said it happened, that it was in fact an ones. So asks the Ketzos, why shouldn't you be chayiv over here? Because einu yachol shava. Meaning, if it's a suffix, whether this is called an onus or not, so einu yachol shava. I can't swear that it was an onus because I'm not sure if we define this as an onus or we don't define it as an onus. So the Ksos asks, why aren't you chayiv? Because einu yachol shava. If you accept the Magen Mishnah's premise that it's really a suffix and that we were never really poshet the suffix. So the Ksos answers to defend the Magen Mishnah. He says, we only say when it's a suffix in the guf ha-maisa, when it's a suffix in terms of what happened over here. Like before we had, you beat up the animal and the animal died a month later. And you're not sure, did the animal die as a result of your beating or did the animal die due to unrelated causes? It's a suffix in the guf ha-maisa. Over here you know exactly what happened. You knew he was a list of mizuyan, you knew that you were a roa mizuyan. You're not sure what the halacha is. Is that called an onus or is that not called an onus? So when the maisa is barur and the safek is in the din, we don't say mitoch shein yachol lishav mishalim. So then it's likely, like the Magen Mishnah says, you're going to say misafek, we're going to be mekel on the shomer, on the roa. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Amalei Abayi L'Rava. Ashkechei roa v'amalei. Let's say the shepherd runs into the list of mizuyin. He happens to see the list of mizuyin and he starts to taunt him. And he says, you know, gan v'sarya, you rotten thief. Beduchta planya yisavinan. Hey, you want to attack us? Look, here's where we're located. With all my flock, with everything, I'm located in this spot. Kach v'kach gavri ikabadan. And we have X number of people with us protecting us. And v'kach v'kach kalvi ikabadan. And we have X number of dogs that are there to protect us. Kach v'kach zutsu psikalan. We have a certain number of people of armed people with slingshots or whatever to set there to defend us if they're called upon. V'azal v'shakal minei. And then the Ganav said, okay, let me just get this all down. So he knows exactly what your position is, what you have. He knows exactly what to come with in order to defeat you, because you've just basically laid out for him exactly your entire defense system. So he's got it all prepared now. And then he goes in and he attacks. And you taunted him. You basically asked him to attack. So he goes in and he attacks. So what's the din in that case? So, my, what's the din? So, when the Mishnah says that if you bring the animals to a dangerous place, that it's not called ones, it's lav dafka that you actually physically bring the animals to a dangerous place. You don't have to actually bring them. It means if you bring the danger upon them, it's not called ones. And over here, you brought the danger upon them because you've invited this list. Now, granted, your intention was not to invite the listen, that wasn't what you were hoping to do. Your intention was to taunt him and hopefully to try to discourage him by scaring him off, but it didn't work. And therefore, since sof kol sof, at the end of the day, what happened was that you brought him. So even though you were mechavin l'tova, so the Marik writes, even though clearly you were mechavin l'tova, but since your dibur caused this to happen, so you can't call it an ones. Says the Marik, though, it's only if you know that he came because of what you told him. If, as far as you know, he was coming anyway, and you realized he was coming, and you were just trying to scare him off because you thought he was coming to attack you. It's not that the Gemara is pretty clear. He says that Ashkechei Roa v'Amrlei, the Roa happens to run into him, and he says to him. But if the Ashkechei was not just that he happened to run into him, Marik says if the Ashkechei is that you saw him coming to attack you, and you therefore tried to stop him, by telling him your exact position and all your defense systems, and then he came and attacked anyway, so then it's not called that you brought him upon you. So even if it's a suffix, it's not called that you brought him upon you. It's only when he was minding his own business and you started taunting him because you're so disgusted by people like that. Okay, new Mishnah. At the top, Masa Shomerchinim Lios Pater Mishvua. Shomerchinim can make a tenai in his original shmirah that he's going to be pater from a shvua. Right, Shomerchinim is only chayiv on pshia, and everything else, all he has to do is swear that he wasn't posheya, and he's going to get off the hook. Now he can make a tenai in his original shmirah that he doesn't want to have to swear. That you have to take his word for it. That if he says it's an onus, it's an onus. He says it's kneiv vaveda, it's kneiv vaveda. He shouldn't have to swear that he wasn't posheya. He could make such a tenai in his shmirah. Now the Rishonim point out, Rabbeinu Yohanan points out, the Mishnah clearly says he can make a tenai that he's pater from a shvua. What about making a tenai that he's pater from pshia? Can you make a tenai that even if I'm negligent, I should be pater? So Rabbeinu Yohanan says the reason the Mishnah doesn't mention that is because that's very strange for a person to make such a tenai. Meaning when you are posheya, you're not just not being shomered properly, you're being mazik. As we said yesterday, poshea is a mazik, so it's unusual that you should be able to make such a tenai. Yeah, I'll watch it, just allow me to be mazik it. So that's unusual, but Rishonim write that if he does make such a tenai to be pater from pshia, so that's totally within his rights. He'd be pater from pshia. He can make such a tenai because he's not mekabel shmira. When he makes a tenai to be pater from pshia, he's simply not being mekabel any shmira whatsoever, and therefore he's allowed to do that. He's allowed not to be mekabel shmirah. However, the Agos Ashri writes that you could be medayik from the Mishnah that if a shomer chinam takes a tenai to be pater from pshia, the tenai is totally invalid. That the Mishnah clearly says a shomer chinam could take a tenai that he's going to be pater from having to swear that he wasn't posheya, but he cannot make a tenai that he's pater from pshia. Why can he not make such a tenai? Isn't that the same as just not being mekabel any shmirah upon himself? So he says no, because that's masnal mashakasa b'torah, because when you're masna to be mazik and to be pater, so that's masnal mashakasa b'torah. Meaning pshia is not just a lack of shmirah, as we said yesterday. Pshia is mazik. You're actually damaging when you're posheya, and you can't make it tonight. Allow me to be mazik, allow me to be pater. That's ki'ilu that you are masal mashkos b'Torah if you make such a tonight. And that's how the Rishonim seem to imply, the Rambam and Hilchos Chiras Perek Bey seems to imply that a posheya is vaday a mazik. Okay, says the Mishnah Vayter, Vashol Yos Pater Milashalim. A Shaol can make a tenai to get off the hook from paying. Nosei Socher Vashocher Yos Pater Mishvua Milashalim. And a Shomer Socher and a Socher could make a tenai to be pater from a Shvua and from paying. Kala Masal Mashkasa B'Torah Tano Batel. Now the rule is, anytime you make a tenai against that which is written in the Torah, the tenai is going to be batel. V'kol tenai sheish po Maisa B'Tchilaso Tano Batel. Also, anytime you make a tenai where the Maisa is before the tenai, so the tenai is going to be batel. You always need tenai kodem l'maisa. The tenai always has to come before the maisa. What does that mean? Tenai kodem l'maisa. But if maisa is kodem tenai, it's batel. What does that mean? So Rashi says, kagon hare maisa zeshalcha im tasa davar ploni. That you say this should be true if, and then you say the tenai. If you look at the way the source of all Tanayim, of the halachas of Tanay, is by Bnei Gadu Bnei Ruvain, and the way it's said over there is, Im Yavru, if you come and you help your brothers fight and conquer Eretz Yisrael, then Unisatem, then you'll get this land in the Eivar Yarden. But clearly the Tanay came before the Maisa. So Rashi clearly understands when we say that you need Tanay Kodim the Maisa, Pasha Pshad, it means that you need to verbalize the Tanai before you verbalize the Maisa. That you need to express the Tanai before you express the Maisa. If you verbalize the Maisa and then verbalize the Tanai, it's a formulaic problem in the way a Tanai works. You just said it the wrong way, and even though it sounds like it means the same thing, the formula of Tanai is very specific. You didn't follow it, and therefore it's invalid. That's how Rashi understands. The Rambam understands differently. The Rambam in Hilchos Ishus writes that when we say you need Tanai Kodem L'Maisa, it means you need to say the Tanai before you do the Maisa, not before you say the Maisa. So what's going to be an example of Maisa Kodem L'Tanai where it's a problem? You're Mekadesh and Isha, and then after you're Mekadesh the Isha, you say, oh, by the way, that was only Al Tanai that, whatever, you jump up and down 100 times. So you make the Tanai after you do the Maisa, not after you say the Maisa. That's where it's problematic. But who cares if you're verbalizing it, if you're formulating it, whether you say the Tanai before the Maisa, or you say the Maisa before the Tanai. That doesn't make a difference, the Rambam says. It only makes a difference whether you do the Maisa before you say the Tanai or not. So asks the Torah and the Rambam, why do you need Mishpatei HaTanayim to tell me that that's a problem? To tell me that there's a problem of verbalizing the Tanai after I do the Maisa, why do you need special rules of Tanayim to tell me that? It's obviously a problem. I already did the Maisa. She's already Mekadeshes. So now I'm going to go to my wife and say, oh, by the way, remember when I was Mekadesh you? That was only Al Tanai that you give me $10 million. So where is it, right? And I guess we're not married anymore. You can't do that. It's already done. You're already married. So obviously it's a little bit different over here because it's Tokh de Dibor, we're assuming. But still, the Torah is bothered that why you should need Mishpatei HaTanayim to tell me that it's a problem to bring the Tanai in after the wedding. Anyway, it should be a problem. So the Bach is Metaretz, the Chazara never works by Kiddushin. You can't be Chozer on a Kiddushin in a Chinami. But over here we're talking about you were planning on doing the Tanai the whole time. And you did it b'toch kedei dibur. It's not like you changed your mind. So you're right, you can't change your mind by kiddushin, even b'toch kedei dibur. But over here, you didn't change your mind. You were planning on the Tanai the whole time. You just didn't express it yet until you actually did the Maisa Kiddushin. And then b'toch kedei dibur, you expressed it. So that you need Mishpatei HaTanayim to tell me that you can't go back. Says Mishnah, anything that you're able, any Tanai that you're able to be Mekayim later on, and you make such a Tanai at the beginning, the Tanai is going to be Kayim. So frankly, Gemara, Amai, Masa Moshkoz B'Torah, we call Masa Moshkoz B'Torah, Tano Batel, isn't it an example of Masa Moshkoz B'Torah, meaning start at the beginning of the Mishnah. Masa Shamrachim Lios Pater Mishvua. What do you mean he could make a Tanai to be Pater from Shvua? Isn't that against the Din? And isn't all Masa Moshkoz B'Torah a problem? So says, Mara Hamani Rabbi Yehudahi, Tamar B'Dover Shabimam Tano Kayim. No, we're assuming like Rabbi Yehuda who says that any Tanai on monetary matters is acceptable. That you're only not allowed to make a Tanai against laws that are non-monetary laws. That's where it's called Masa Moshkoz B'Torah. But any time you have a Tanai that's on something that's purely monetary, so that's fine. Titania, homily sharia mukadeshus the al nasha in laichalai sher ksus faona, harezim mukadeshus with no battle de vremeir. If a person's Mekadesh and Isha and he says, I'm being Mekadesh you al manas that I shouldn't have the responsibilities of sher ksus and ona on you, so then Rameir says, is she's Mekadeshus, the Kiddushin works, but the Tanai is totally invalid. You are Masa Mashkas Betorah. Mm-hmm. The Torah requires you to give sher ksus faona. If you try to make a Tanai in your Kiddushin that there's not going to be a chiv of sher ksus v'ona, your kiddushin is still a ma'aseh kiddushin, your tanai is a piece of garbage. That's how Rameir holds. But Rabbi Yehuda Omer, b'davar shebimam al tano kayim, whichever part of sher ksus v'ona is monetary, meaning to provide clothing, let's say, which is purely monetary, so that's a davar shebimamon that you are allowed to make a tanai on. The ona, maybe in a chinami, you're not allowed to make a tanai on, but certain things you are allowed to make a tanai on. Whatever is monetary, you're allowed to make a tanai on. So that's the opinion that our Mishnah must be following. The Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that monetary issues can be subject to tanai, even if those monetary issues are legislated by the Torah. So you could still make a tanai to go against it. So frankly, Gemara, okay, good, so you want to say our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yehuda, but we have a problem. Umi matzus mukum like Rabbi Yehuda? Can we really say our mission is going like Rabbi Yehuda? Eima seifa kalamasa mashkas b'torah tano batal asandra meir. But who's the one that holds kalamasa mashkas b'torah tano batal? That's Rabbi Meir who holds kalamasa mashkas b'torah tano batal. So how can you say that our mission is going like Rabbi Yehuda? Meaning Rabbi Meir is the one that derives mishpatei HaTanayim from Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven, and Rabbi Meir is the one that holds all the rules of the mishpatei HaTanayim. So how can you say that kalamasa mashkas b'torah tano batal, which is Rabbi Meir's shita, and still hold that you can make a tanai in davar shebimamon, which is Rabbi Yehuda's shita? So it says Gemara halokasha the only Rabbi Yehuda he the sefer b'davar she'ena shel mamon. No, we're really assuming like Rabbi Yehuda, and the sefer is going meaning the point is that in the sefer when we say that kolamasa mashkas b'torah tano batal, it's talking about non-monetary issues, and Rabbi Yehuda does hold there's such a rule. He holds masa mashkas b'torah tano batal. He just holds that that rule doesn't apply to monetary issues. But by everything else, he'll still maintain that that rule is true. He'll agree with Rav Meir by all non-monetary issues. So the sefer, we're going to say, it's an old battle because it's a non-monetary issue. So Zemar, it's still a problem, though. Ema sefer called Tanai Sheish Bo Maisa B'Tchadas, it's an old battle. This is where it gets into the Mishpatei HaTanayim. It says in the Seifa, any Tanai that's not Kodun L'maisa, the Tanai is invalid. Man Sham Leidis Le'Hasvara, who's the one that holds that a Tanai is invalidated by not having Tanai Kodun L'maisa? Rameir is the one that holds that you need the Mishpatei HaTanayim to be patterned exactly after the Tanai B'nei Gad B'nei Ruvein, and therefore you need Tanai Kodun L'maisa. Titanya Abachalafta Ish Kfar Chananya Amar Mishum Rabbi Meir, Abachalafta said in the name of Rameir, Tanai Kodum L'maisa Reza Tanai, Maisa Kodum L'Tanai, Ain't a Tanai. That if you have a Tanai Kodum L'maisa, that's good. Maisa Kodum L'Tanai, no good. So you have Beferish that Rameir is the one that says that Tanai Kodum L'maisa is a problem. So again, how can you say that our mission is going like Rabbi Yehuda? And that you're allowed to be Masna al Davashab Mamon. And when it says you can't be Masna Mashkas Batar, it's only talking about something that's not Mamon. But the Mishnah can't be going like Rabbi Yehuda because the Mishnah requires Tanai Kodum L'maisa, and Stafka Rabbi Meir who requires Tanai Kodum L'maisa. So, just before we answer that question, the Ritva's bothered by the Kasha. Do we ever find that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't require Tanai Kodum L'maisa? Meaning, all we proved is that Rav Meir requires Tanai Kodum L'maisa. So he said, how could you say our mission is going like Rabbi Yehuda? After all, Rav Meir is the one that says you need Tanai Kodum L'maisa. Yeah, but does Rabbi Yehuda disagree? We have no raya that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees anywhere. It could be the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda holds that, like, you need Tanai Kodum L'maisa. What's so difficult about that? So the Ritva says that we do find that Rabbi Yehuda does not require Tanai Kafel. Rabbi Meir requires, again, patterned after B'nai Gad B'nai Ruvein, that you need Tanai Kafel. You need to say that if you do this, then you'll get this, and if you don't do this, then you won't get that, right? You always have to make it a Tanai Kafel. Rabbi Yehuda, rather, does not require Tanai Kafel. So if Rabbi Yehuda does not require Tanai Kafel, what does that tell you about his whole derivation of the laws of Tanai? It tells you that he does not pattern all Tanais after the Tanai B'nai Gad B'nai Ruvein. What's the only reason to say you need Tanai Kodum L'maisa? Because you're patterning the laws of Tanai after Tanai B'nai Gad B'nai Ruvein. So once you know Rabbi Yehuda doesn't need Tanai Kafel, you would also know that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't require any of the formulaic rules of Tanai, and you wouldn't need Tanai Kodum L'maisa. So Mela, you do know that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with Rav Meir on this point. That's one vart in the Ritva. The Ritva says possibly another teretz is that since it's not just Shitas Rav Meir that's being recorded, but it's Abba Chalafta saying in the name of Rav Meir, the clear assumption is that it's a Das Yachid, and that there are Rabbanan who are Cholik. And normally when there are Rabbanan who are Cholik, on Rav Meir, Rabbi Yehuda's chief amongst them. Rabbi Yehuda's normally normally one of the Bar Pluktas of Rav Meir, so therefore you have the right to assume that Rabbi Yehuda's in the group of Rabbanan that disagree with Rav Meir. But anyway, bottom line is, Gemara has a kasha, that Rav Meir is one that says you need Tanai Kodum the L'maisa, so how can you say that the mission is going like Rabbi Yehuda, that a davar shem mamar tano kayem, elokula Rav Meir? So you have to say no, that the mission is going like Rav Meir. Aye, then how could the Tanai on the davar shem mamar work? Over here it's different because Meikara, he never accepted upon himself that responsibility. Meaning this is not considered a Masa Mashkas B'Torah. Meaning, it's only called Masa Mashkas B'Torah if you accept to be a Shomer, and then you change the rules of Shomerim. Over here, you never accepted in the first place to be a Shomer. As opposed to when you're Mekadesh Anisha, as soon as you say, Arayim Mekadeshesli, she's Mekadeshes, when you then try to make a Tanai, Shein Laichalai, Sher Ksusa Ona, then you're being Masa Mashkas B'Torah, because there's no such thing as Ishus Lechatzayin. Ishus means with Sher Ksus Viona. So that's a fundamental difference between Shmira on the one hand, where you're just not being makabel the Shmira versus Ishus, where you're trying to implement Ishus with different rules than the Torah's rules of Ishus. Tana umasa shomer sachar lios kishoel. So we said that a shomer sachar can make a Tanai that he's going to have a din of a shoel. So meaning he's going to accept upon himself the full responsibilities of a shoel. B'mai, b'dvarim? What? How does he accept those responsibilities? How does he become responsible like a shoel? Just by verbalizing that he's interested in being chayiv for everything? Shomer Shmuel b'shekano miyado. No, he makes some sort of kinyan to show that he's accepting to be a shoel. From Yochanan, Rav Yehuda, Mishloach, and Miyadot. No, he doesn't have to make a kinyan. By Yana, the Kanafik Leikol, Dinish Memnuhu, Gamr Mishab Nafshei. From the fact that he's getting the hana, that everyone knows that he's a trustworthy person, because after all, you're letting him borrow your item, and everyone's going to say that you're like that you trust him a lot because you're giving him your item. So therefore, he's mishabed himself to have the status of a shawel. Says the Gemara Vayitzim, the Mishnah had said, "V'kol she'ef shelo l'kaima b'sofo." Any tanai that you can fulfill later on is a valid form of tanai. Amrav Tavla Amrav Zudiv Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema Aval Chachamim Amr Afal Pi She'ef shelo l'kaima b'sofo v'isnav mitchilaso tanai kaim. Even if you're unable to fulfill the tanai at the end, but you make the tanai at the beginning, the tanai is valid. D'tanya Hareza Gitech Amrav Shetal Lirakia Amrav Sheter Dilatom Amrav Shetiv Likana Shlomei Ama Amrav Shetav Yesi Ama Gadol Baraglecha Niskayim Atanai. If you make a ridiculous tanai, you say this should be a good get, almanas that you go up to Shemayim, almanas that you go down to the depths of the earth, almanas that you swallow a 100 amma long reed, almanas that you walk over the amma gadol by foot. So if the tanai is mekuyam, then, which is never going to happen, then it is a good get. But if you're not mekayim the tanai, it's not a good get, meaning essentially you made the get impossible. Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema omer kazeh get. Rabbi Yehuda Ben Tema says, no, it's a valid form of get. Klal Amar Rabbi Ben Tema, kol she'ef shel l'kayim b'sof v'v'zol mitchaso, enu ala k'mafliga v'kasher. Whenever you say something that's impossible, at the beginning, you know that it's not going to be able to be fulfilled, all you're really doing is you're teasing her. But still, you want the ma'aseh to be kayim. You're just teasing the other person by saying, yeah, I want you to walk across the Yama Gadol, but obviously, you don't mean that as a serious tanai, and the ma'aseh is therefore going to be kayim. Amrav Nachman Amarav Halach Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema, that Halach is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema. Amrav Nachman Yitzchak Masnis Nami Deka, the Mishnah is Meduyuk like Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema. The Katani Kol She'ef Shelo L'Kayim B'Sof V'Vizlo Mitchlaso Tano Kayim. Whenever you're able to be Masna, whenever you make a Tanai that you're able to be Mekayim B'Sofo, then the Tanai is a binding Tanai Ha'Yef Shelo L'Kayim. But if it's something that's impossible to ever fulfill, so then Tano Bato, the Tanai is not a binding Tanai Shema Minah. So you see very clear, like Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema, that if the Tanai is something that's ridiculous, so then it's not a binding form of Tanai. That's a little bit strange that the Gemara will say at the end, yeah, and our Mishnah is even Meduyik like Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema. That's how the Gemara started. Right? The Gemara started the discussion by Amrav Tavla Amrav Zu Divrei Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema. Right? The Gemara started by saying, yeah, this Mishnah is only like Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema. But it would be against, it would be against the Shita that argues in Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema, against the Chachamim. Then the Gemara says again at the end, yeah, and the Mishnah's Meduyuk like Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema. That's, we already said that. So Tosfos notes the problem. Tosfos says, "V'mtomer my k'mashmal and Rav Nachman harav amalel zudiv Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema va'od mashayich deka mashu behedya." Also, how can you say this Mishnah is Meduyuk like Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema? It's not Meduyuk like Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema. It says like Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema. It's explicit like Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema. Right? Mishnah Deka like Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema, you normally have to make some sort of Diuk. There's no Diuk over here. The Mishnah said explicitly that any time the Tanai is going to be able to be fulfilled at the end is a binding Tanai. That's pretty explicit. That's what you need for a binding Tanai. You need something that you're able to fulfill. The ikala memar de l'shmiyale de rav. So it could be that when Rav Nachman said the statement that our Mishnah is meduyik like Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema, could be he was unaware of Rav's statement where Rav had already said that our Mishnah only goes like Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema. V'shayich nami deka kivin sheinu beferush b'mishnah. And maybe you could say that deka is also an appropriate lashon over here because it never spells out that when it's impossible to be mekayim the tanai, that the tanai is not binding. It only says a tanai is binding if it's possible to be mekayim the tanai. It's still a little bit of a diuk. You don't need to be the biggest lamdan to make the diuk, but it's still at least a little bit of a diuk to say that if it's impossible to be mekayim the tanai, that the tanai is not going to be binding. Okay, but the problems are problems. Tosfos has a totally different approach. But let's hadron l'chasachas poem. That's the end of the sachas poem. Let's start the eighth parak. So we actually started the rules of the eighth parak in two mishnayos ago, right? We started inside the gimel amud aleph by saying arba shomrim heim. So we already transitioned into shomrim, which is what we're going to discuss now. So Shol is a part of a shol baila ima. If a person borrows a cow and he borrows the owner of the cow with it, or he hires the owner of the cow with the cow. So shala baila masachar v'achkach shala saparo umesa, or he borrows or hires the owner and then he borrows the cow and then the cow dies. Potter, you're going to be Potter, even though Shaul is chayv and everything. Still, if you borrow the owner along with the cow, or you already had the owner in your as your employee when you borrowed the cow, you're going to be Potter because it's a pasuk in the Torah. Shnemar and Balav Ima lo yishalem. Pasuk is explicit in the Torah that if the owner is with it, you don't have to pay him. We assume owner with it means at the time that you borrow it. But if you borrow the cow first and then you borrow the bailim, and then or then you hire the bailim, and then the animal dies while the bailim is your employee, but at the time that you borrowed the animal, the bailim was not your employee, you're going to be chayiv. Meaning, it's a very difficult din to really try to come up with a svara with, right? Because the svara would have been, well, the bailim should have taken care of it because he was working for you also, and therefore. But that doesn't really work because we don't look at the time that it died. We don't care if the bailim was with it at the time that it died. We only care if the bailim was with it at the time that you borrowed it. If you employed the bailim at the time that you borrowed it, even if it dies 6 months later, but at the time that you initially borrowed it, that's what the patur is. And that's the only time you're going to be patur. Anyway, says the Gemara, "Midiktani sefer v'achach shalas apara mukhal dereisha diktani ima ima mamish." From the fact that it says that if you borrow the bailim and then borrow the shoel, and as a separate example, as borrowing the bailim and the part at the same time, implies that when we talk about borrowing the bailim and the part at the same time, we literally mean at the same time, because we gave three cases: we gave borrowing the bailim first, then the para; we gave borrowing the bailim and part at the same time, and borrowing the para first, then the bailim. So from the fact that we give all three possibilities, sounds like the middle possibility is literal, that you borrow them literally at the same time. But how could that possibly ever happen? That you acquire them in totally different ways. Para b'mashicha, you need to do a mashicha on the para in order to take on the status of a shaul, bailim ba'amira. But as soon as you verbalize the agreement with the bailim, he's already considered your employee. So how could it possibly be that you do both at the same time? So says Gemara, ibay seima kigon dekaim para b'chatzero the shaul, delamachsu mashicha. You don't always need mashicha. If the par is already in your chatzer, in the shovel's chatzer, so he's not going to need a mashicha. So then as soon as he verbalizes and comes up with an agreement with the bailim to have him and the para, so then it comes all at the same time. Iba yiseima, da amalei at gufach lo tishal at shas mashichas parascha. Or he verbalizes in the agreement that you are only going to be employed by me from the moment that I do mashicha on your para, but not before that moment. Says Martan Hassan, we have a Mishnah. Arba shomrim heim, shomr chinam ha-shol nos sachar v'asachar. There are four shomrim. Shomr chinam shol nos sachar and sachar. Shomr chinam nishpa alakol. The rule is, meaning, again, this is the Mishnah we had in Sadi Gimel Amnal. But since we're discussing shomrim now, and this is the parak of shomrim, so we bring it up now. Shomr chinam nishpa alakol. Shomr chinam swears about everything. V'ashol m'shalim v'asachol. Shoel pays for everything. So this lashon of hakol is not so meduyak. Tosos points out, Shomachinim Nishbal Akol, says Tosos, Lo Chashav Pshia, we're not considering Pshia in the Cheshbon, because the Shomachinim does not swear on Pshia, he pays for Pshia, the Bahakulu Chayavim, because Pshia is like obvious, everyone pays for that. Vashol Meshalim is called Mashu's Kupra Parsha, and when we say Shol pays for everything that's written in the Parsha, Shaul doesn't really pay for everything. If you're just using it as you're supposed to use it, and it dies, Mesa Machmas Malacha, the Shaul is also going to be Pater. It's just that that's obvious because the Shaul, when he's borrowing it, he's supposed to use it. He's not doing anything wrong. He's doing exactly what he's supposed to do with it. So the Lashon of Hakol is a little bit misleading. Hakol doesn't mean everything. It means everything that's debatable. Whatever is debatable is Shomer Chinam is going to be pater on is by swearing, and a shoel is going to have to pay. No sisachar v'asocher nishbotin al shvur v'al shvuyah v'al meisa. A shomer sacher and a socher swear if it breaks or it gets captured, it dies. But they have to pay if it's Geneva Aveda. So says the Gemara Minani Mili. How do I know that this is true? How do I know all these laws of Shomrim? How do I know that there are these different levels of Chiyuvim for Shomrim? So Tosus points out, what do you mean Minani Mili? Why are we asking this now? We had this mission Sadi Gimel and Aleph. So Top Tosus says, Mishum Daisi Masnis and Kra, Divim Balavimo, Natalimem Minani Mili Adhacha. Because we brought up the Pasuk of Balavimo, that you're Pater, so we wait until here to actually dash in the Pesukim, to show how we get from the Pesukim in the Torah these different levels of Shomrim. The Tanur Rabbanan, because of the rabbis told us in a Braisa, there are essentially three sets of Pesukim, one right after the other, that deal with three types of Shomrim. The only problem is, if you actually look in the Torah, Only in the third set of psukim does the Torah say explicitly what kind of shomer it's talking about. In the third set of psukim, it says that it's a shoel. But in the first two, we don't know what kind of shomer it's talking about. So says, we're now labeling the first one's about a shomer chinam, second one's about a shomer sachar, third one's about a shoel. Well, Bishlam Ashlishis Bishal Mufurash, Vachiyish Alishmi Imre Ehu Vinishmar Mes Balavini Moshalim Shalem. Pasuk is Beferish, that third one's talking about a Shoel. El Rishon Bishamachinim Shinim Bishamar Sachar, Epachana. But how do I know that the first one's about a Shamachinim, second one's about a Shamar Sachar? Maybe it's the exact opposite. So it says, Gemara, no, Mistavra Shinir Bishamar Sachar Shakin Chayiv B'Gnei Vaveda. It's more Mistavra that the second one's about a Shamar Sachar because he's Chayiv in Gnei Vaveda. And meaning, it tells us what the din is in the second parsha, it tells us he's Chayiv in Gnei Vaveda. Who's more Mistavra to be Chayim and Gneva Aveda, Shomer Chinam or Shomer Sachar? Clearly, Shomer Sachar. So, Mestama, it's a Shomer Sachar. Says, we're not Adaraba. Rishona b'Shomer Sachar, Shkin Mishlam Tashum the Kefal between Tainas Ganav. In the first parsha, it says that if you claim that it was stolen from you and it turns out you're the one that stole it, you're going to have to pay double. So, and the second parsha doesn't say anything about paying double. So, who's the one that's going to be more likely to have to pay more? To have to pay double? Well, I would say a Shomer Sachar is more likely to have to pay more. So, maybe the first parsha is really about a Shomer Sachar, not the second parsha. So, says Gemara, no, well, which is more likely? That the Shomer Sachar is going to have to pay double if he's Toin Tain is Ganav? Or that the Shomer Sachar is going to be Chayiv on Gnev Vaveda? If you can't have both, which one is more likely? Afilu hachi karna below shvua adifa mikfele b'shvua. To be chayiv keren in more cases without swearing, without having the ability to swear, and without swearing falsely, is going to be more likely that that's the shomer sachar than a case of being that's more of a chumra than saying that you can have to be kefel if you swore falsely by claiming that it was stolen and in fact you stole it. Because how often is that going to happen? That's only if you did something terribly wrong. Teda da shol kolana shalovena mshalim el keren. And the greatest riot to that is that a shoel doesn't pay kefel, and the shoel should be the most responsible, and he only pays keren. So, frankly, does the shoel really get all the hana'a? Doesn't he have to give mizonos to the animal? So, says the animal's in an agam, so it gets to eat from there. But doesn't he have to watch the animal? No, it's generally protected by the security of the city. No, we didn't mean the shoel gets all that. No, it means the shoel is pretty much a one-sided deal. He pretty much gets most of that. No, but obviously there's certain things he has to give up. Or we're talking about where you borrow kelim, so you don't have to feed them at all. And then it's clearly kolan ashalo. No, that's the rule of Shomer I understand that he's chayiv in Gneva, it says beferish. El aved minalan. How do I know that he's chayiv in aveda as well? The Tanya im ganov yganev ein li al Gneva aveda minayin. Tamlor ganov yganev mikol makom. The double lashon tells us that mikol makom. Hani chalman yamalam rim debritar klashem neyadam. Man yamalam rim debritar klashem neyadam. Maikel meimar. That's if you understand that a double lashon is a chiddush. But if you understand a double lashon is not there for a drasha, what are you going to say? Amri marav akal v'chomer. So say no, it's an obvious kal v'chomer. Something that's close to an onus you have to pay for. Something that's closer to pshia like aveda, of course you're going to have to pay for. And the other sheet of the darshans from psukim will say, yeah, in a chinami you could have derived it from a kal v'chomer, but the puzzle goes out of its way to say it anyway. Okay, we'll pick up from Shoel tomorrow.